Okay, and now our next Al-Anon speaker will be Rob G. from Auburn. Rob, welcome.
Hi, everybody. So first off, thank you, Sarah, because one of the things in Al-Anon we talk about is encouraging our members to go to open AA meetings so we can learn more about the disease of alcoholism. And so some of us are sometimes perhaps not quite knowing what that's like, so we all got a preview of that if you haven't done that before. So it's not so scary. Go check it out. So again, Sarah, thank you very much for your talk tonight. I wanted to go ahead and thank Kim for inviting me. Thanks, Kim. And of course, for the men in the Steps Towards Recovery Monday evening group. So thanks, guys, and those of you who did the reading tonight. And I noticed while I was sitting here looking at all your beautiful faces on the screen that we even have Sally from Tasmania here tonight. So hi, Sally in Tasmania. That's like way cool. So I got to say hi to you and a whole lot of other wonderful people I know and recognize, both from when I lived down in the Bay Area and Benicia and up here in the foothills now. I spoke to this District 14 speaker meeting, I don't know, about 10 years ago, over there at the Walnut Creek Kaiser building. And what I really remember is that there was cake and that there were donation baskets. So if you can figure out, Kim, how to push the cake through the microphone, I've got a plate. No? Okay. And I especially like the baskets because I always wanted to win the one with the bubble bath. And for those of you who are new to Al-Anon, start taking a tally as you're reading all of our various literature, how many times you read about bubble bath. And there, you'd be surprised. That's one of my little fun things I like to do. Hi, my name's Rob, and I have a home group up here in Auburn, California, the Gold Rush Al-Anon group. And we also, just like the host group tonight, meet on Monday nights. And these days we are Zooming. So imagine that. I know none of you ever do that. So I just happened to, not that I'm promoting, but in case any of you want to check out a different meeting on a Monday night, our Zoom ID and password, I just snuck into the chat box. And so we'd be more than happy to have you here. And there's several members of my home group also on the this meeting tonight too. So cool. I've been in Al-Anon since Martin Luther King weekend in January 2003. And I have a sponsor. My sponsor's on here tonight. Actually, there's also somebody else on here tonight who years ago was a guy who also heard one of my fifth steps, so pretty cool. And I've done worked the Al-Anon steps with the sponsor. I'm also in service both at my home group and also in Al-Anon District 10 over here where we are. So Auburn is part of the district that includes pretty much all of Placer County, a little corner of Sacramento County, Nevada County, Sierra County, EIEIO County, I guess. Anyway, we have about 50 meetings a week over here, so kind of in the same ballpark as you are, but a little more spread out. We also have a monthly speaker meeting that was last weekend, so come check ours out. I see lots of us checking yours out this time, so that's pretty cool. And I also am in service as a certified MIAS, which is an Al-Anon member in Alateen service. For those of you who are new with us, and so maybe that might be a place for you to check out also as a way of being in service in Al-Anon to our team members of Al-Anon. I'm also a really good parrot of ideas and words, so most of what you're going to hear tonight is what I've learned in Al-Anon, and most of what I'll be saying is from that rather than any unique or creative thoughts of my own. So if some of this sounds familiar, it's probably because you read it the same place I did, or maybe you shared it in the meeting and now I'm repeating it back to you. So thank you for that. I came to Al-Anon because of someone else's choices and actions related to drinking. And for me, what happened is that triggered some really deep worry, sleeplessness, racing mind full of problem-solving solutions. Somehow it was in my mind it was going to be my job to solve those things for them. And likely they were not particularly worried, sleepless, or overthinking it, but yet I was. And so a good friend of mine suggested that maybe I would go to an Al-Anon meeting with him, which I did. And I've stuck around since then. At first I wasn't quite sure why Al-Anon felt like the right place for me. And then I read part of one of our daily readers, and And Sarah, we have a whole lot of books in Al-Anon. We've got practically a library full of them. But anyway, one of our daily readers is called The Hope for Today. And interestingly enough, on January 15th, which was that day I went to my first meeting, the reading for that day on page 15 talked about, and I'm going to kind of quote at you now here. So I only have a few pages of notes here tonight. One thing that continued to puzzle me since I had not grown up in an alcoholic home, why did I answer yes to almost all of the questions in the Al-Anon leaflet, did you grow up with a problem drinker? And then it went on to say, the person who wrote that page, that after several years, their higher power finally chose to reveal to me why I identified with that leaflet. My parents were adult children of alcoholics. Being raised by adult children can be just as damaging as being raised by alcoholics. Although my parents didn't drink, they also didn't choose recovery either. Unknowingly, they had passed on unhealthy attitudes and behavior to another generation. And so for me, that was my aha moment that, oh, that's me to a T, that I had grown up with two parents who were adult children of alcoholics, and neither of them drank. In fact, I don't think I ever saw either of my parents drink ever. And yet they had all of the behaviors that, you know, I can now see in myself and around us as I've learned more about the family disease of alcoholism. So I was in the right place. One of our other books, in fact, it's in fact, in the front of it, it talks about being the essential book on the Al-Anon family groups, our How Al-Anon Works book for friends and families of alcoholics. And you know, it further describes this. And so it talks about not only, you know, that, you know, we can learn the behaviors and things without ever having been around a active drinker. And so and so I'm going to quote it to you again. So for those of us who never even knew the drinker and the true nature of the problem, it can be even more difficult to figure out that maybe Al-Anon's the place for us. We may have been affected by the alcoholism of a grandparent or distant relative, or by those who have been sober for as long as we have known them. They inadvertently pass those effects to us. And this is the part that I particularly like about this one, because this was also me to a T and never quite knew why I had these feelings and stuff rattling around on me. But inexplicably being haunted by insecurity, fear, guilt, obsession with others. Well, that's a big piece for me. An overwhelming need to control every person in situations. And so for me, that was, again, that was me to a T. I was the guy who was, you know, wide awake in the middle of the night, worrying about what my family member might be doing. I mean, to the point where I actually called emergency rooms in the middle of the night to see if they were there. Didn't occur to me to call them to see if maybe they were home or were not okay. I went straight to the, you know, called the emergency room. So maybe I was like the previous speaker's friend who was calling. I don't know. But it was just as like that person I was worrying about was tucked in bed at home asleep doing just fine. And yet I was the one with all that angst that my gut, my heart, my head were just spinning. So, yeah, Al-Anon, the right place for me. You know, kind of a recent aha for me. And again, now, so this one actually is kind of my own thought. It doesn't actually come from any of our Al-Anon literature. So it also might be totally wrong, because I've been known to mostly be totally wrong. That's why I depend on you folks to help me kind of see what's right and what's not. But that's that I really believe that this family disease of alcoholism really seems to be just as progressive as alcoholism is for alcoholics. That for me, I can look at my family members, of my family of origin, I can look to a past spouse, I can see my adult children, and I can see the very things I suffer from the family disease of alcoholism, aspects of that present for them and continuing to progress. And so it's really interesting. It's almost as if this family disease of alcoholism is more insidious and touching every part of my family tree, every branch, every leaf, every rootlet. And once in a while, an actual real life alcoholic pops up. But the rest of us have managed to teach each other a variety of behaviors and pretty dysfunctional behaviors. I am able to say at this point in my life, which I try to not be in the middle of. But that I really believe this family disease of alcoholism is just as insidious and moves around in families, whether the alcoholic is drinking or not. And so yikes, what do people like me do to manage to get by on a daily basis when that's going on, that all the people around me, whether they be my family of origin or others, are also affected by the family disease of alcoholism. And other than my current nuclear family, none of my other family members are in any kind of recovery, whether that be in Al-Anon, in AA, in anything else. And so we have this Al-Anon program of personal recovery. And so, you know, through our 12 steps, and for me, those 12 steps were taught to me by Al-Anon members who had already worked the Al-Anon steps, right? So we can read about them, we can talk about them in meetings, they hang on the wall in some meeting rooms, but just looking at them or reading them was not the same as doing them, not taking those actions and doing the work. And so, you know, going through the 12 steps, again, taught to me by Al-Anon members who worked those steps previously, taught to me through our Al-Anon conference approved literature, CAL, and also through every, you know, folks, just like every single one of you on the screen here tonight, even those of you who don't have your pictures up and have your names there, you know, that when you share your experience, strength, and hope with me, that's how I learned to how to work the 12 steps. And it helps to have a sponsor who's already done them also, right? Because again, simply just reading them or thinking about them isn't the same as doing them. And I don't know about you, but I never did them before I got here. So how would I know how to do that all by myself, right? and so initially that provided, you know, that personal recovery experience for me that gave me relief from those sleepless nights, the worry, the churned up gut, the racing heart, the brain that wouldn't shut off and was keeping me awake, that I got relief from that by doing the steps, you know, as suggested to me, as taught to me in the Al-Anon program. For those of you may be new here to Al-Anon, you know, one of the first things I heard that made some sense to me before I ever even started thinking about, you know, steps or sponsors or whatever else, but I heard in the meeting this idea about that, you know, I didn't cause the alcoholism, I couldn't control the alcoholism, and I can't cure the alcoholism. And I guess other people just kind of like automatically know that. I didn't automatically know that, okay? So I was the guy who was trying to prevent anybody from having the opportunity to make decisions or take actions that would have adverse outcomes for them. And I wanted to barge right in and tell them how to do it, whether they wanted that information or not. And generally, you know, most people, I would say, probably all of us here and probably many people in AA and so forth, really don't want people barging in where they're not invited and telling them what to do, right? We tend to, you know, resist that or perhaps even do just the opposite. And so for me, suddenly to hear this thing about, oh, that wasn't really, you know, my job to do, they hadn't given me permission to jump in and give them those directions and manage, control, direct you know, their lives. That somehow gave me permission to, instead of being so focused on them, to now actually be able to hear that maybe it was okay for me to focus on myself and figure out what it was I needed to do to be comfortable with me, rather than spending all this time focusing and worrying about others. And again, it's amazing how frustrating it can be trying to get everybody to do just how you want things done, when you want it done, to keep them from having these adverse things. And it's even more frustrating than 90% of the time you never tell them that, and they still don't happen to do it, right? So, talk about insanity, right? So my first Al-Anon sponsor used to always tell me to be gentle with myself. I'm one of those people who can be my own worst naysayer. So another way of saying that about be gentle with yourself might be, you know, give yourself a break. It's not your responsibility. It's not your job. And those are all things I had to learn here. I had to learn that, you know, other people's lives and the path they're on is not, I'm not the roadmap for them. I'm not their navigation device, talking to them in the car, telling them what to do and when to do it and how to do it. Now I might want to be, whether they're in the car or not, and so then the other part about that, well, then whose job is that? You know, so if it's not really my job, then whose job is that? And, you know, maybe that's something different than myself, greater than myself. Maybe that's a higher power. Maybe that's kind of their job. And so I had a sponsor who actually at one time had me write a letter to God and for me to resign as being the director of the universe because somebody else actually already had that job description and it wasn't me. And that was a, you know, as silly as that may sound, that really worked for me. It gave me, again, a chance to see how ridiculous it was for me to try and be, you know, up in other people's stuff the way I seem to be compelled to be, and to get out of that. And once again, by getting out of other people's stuff, to focus back on myself and what I need to do to be happy, usefully whole, of service to others in and of myself. You know, this whole idea about, you know, who am I to think that I know better than God? And wow, that really resonates with me at this point. So here's the humor interludes. You're going to be allowed to laugh now. So, but enough about that. Let's talk about me. And I had to tell you that was going to be humorous because in case you didn't laugh, then I was going to, you know, I didn't want to have to get a resentment or anything. So I mentioned I got this relief, right? The relief from being awake in the middle of the night, the worry, the churning gut, the, you know, all those other things that were going on. And, you know, that personal recovery experience was what it was. I wanted to make sure I could keep that. I had this huge amount of gratitude that, wow, you know, I've gotten relief from the very things that were keeping me spinning. And how do you keep that? And so, you know, one of our steps in Al-Anon is that we, in step 12, carry that message, that by doing that, we get to keep having that relief to be able to take that gratitude and put it into action to be of service to others. And so, you know, again, all those Al-Anon teachers, the sponsors I've had, the Conference Approved Literature, you know, others were full on, you know, flesh and blood examples. You know, the suggested way to keep that relief was not just do step 10, which is, you know, kind of do 4 through 9 as needed, but to really carry the message to take on step 12. And, you know, suggested to me was the way to do that. One way of practicing the 12th step is to make sure, or one of the reasons to practice the 12 steps, is to make sure the program continues to be available, to be shared with others, because without that, then I don't get that relief. So it's kind of a selfish thing too, right? That I want to keep being there because I want the relief, because without that relief, I'm pretty uncomfortable. So I've also heard that this idea about the practice of putting gratitude into action is also called service. And, you know, we heard the district rep earlier talking about, you know, sort of a rotation in the panel coming up here, and you know, for each and every one of us to think about, you know, how can we be of service? And again, it's a way of practicing, putting our gratitude into action, but it kind of guarantees to keep getting that relief, that serenity that that I so much desired and see as, you know, one of those big benefits of the Al-Anon program for myself. You know, so if you like more information about how to do that, we actually have this great pamphlet called When I Got Busy, I Got Better. It's Al-Anon pamphlet number 78. So if you were taking notes, you can stop now. You can just pull out pamphlet 78 and read that instead, right? So you don't need to take verbatim notes. I know you weren't really doing that. That was another humor interlude in case you didn't catch that. It also made sense to me about getting into service that because I had heard somewhere else that this idea that and I'd experienced it for myself, that anytime I find something particularly troublesome or troubling, it's causing me worry, that if I throw myself harder into helping others and think of their needs and not my own, that somehow that's going to get me out of myself. It's going to get me out of my head. I'm going to be working to help them. It's going to distract me from my own troubles. It quiets my heart, quiets my mind, quiets my gut, and keeps me away from those actions or reactions, which would pull me right back into, you know, my behaviors, my learned behaviors that didn't serve me particularly well and don't serve the people around me very well. And so, again, this idea about getting into service to get out of self, and by getting out of self, then I get out of my own way, and I can now be present to, you know, do whatever I'm supposed to be doing rather than rattling around inside my own head again. The other thing about service is it's a safe place to practice overcoming fears. I don't know about you, but, you know, each and every time I've done a inventory, fear is a huge part about what goes on with me. I'm a fear-based individual. And so, like, you know, getting into service, it gives us a place to overcome our fear of responsibility, because now we're responsible for something. It could be something as simple as putting the chairs away. It could be, you know, giving me relief from fear of making mistakes, because now I get to practice. You know, I don't have to do it perfect. I get to practice, and I can get better at whatever I'm doing. I don't have to be fearful of mistakes. You know, fear of making commitments. And, you know, commitments aren't always just about relationships. Commitments are about, you know, showing up and doing what we say we're going to do when we're going to do it. Gives me practice at overcoming fear of failure, because now I'm in a place as a trusted servant where people trust me to try it out and see how it works. And, you know, if it fails, there's people there to help me with whatever that may be. And also to practice overcoming fear of success, because that's also, you know, something that's very real, that, success can be just as much of a driver of me getting into too much of self. The, you know, in Al-Anon, we have trusted servants. So I'll repeat that word, trusted, right? And which means we give them the respect and trust to accomplish their jobs. And wow, what a novel thing. I don't know, you know, what your life experience has been like, and whether it be work or other venues, but, you know, this idea that others will trust me and I can trust them to do their jobs, and I don't have to be right in the middle of everything else. And so in Al-Anon, we learned that, you know, excessive detailed management or, you know, checks every step along the way, so also known as constantly looking over the shoulder of others, our trusted servants in this case, is ineffective. It's demoralizing. It causes resentment. Wow, what a great place to learn some things that I am really good at otherwise jumping in the middle of, you know, through my behaviors, my actions, my choice of words, my wanting to get in the middle of other people's stuff is a way of, you know, causing demoralization, causing resentment. And so instead now through service, I can get a get the opportunity to practice something different. Just like in meetings, we get to practice some skills of interacting with other people that maybe don't come naturally to us. We can practice, whatever that's about. You know, the other thing we learned in Al-Anon in service is that, you know, this thing about, you know, delegated authority, when something's working well, we leave it alone, that we don't have to be in charge of every single little part. Again, I'm the guy who wanted to control every single aspect of everybody's life around me and to ensure the outcomes that I thought that were the right outcomes. Who am I to deny somebody the experience of, you know, being able to learn from their own decisions and see how things work out for them? And then also, you know, part of carrying the message is stymied if we can't avoid, you know, personal clashes, confusion, and causing of ineffectiveness. So again, in service, we learn how to be present and not have to bring up all that drama and trauma that, at least for me, was a lot of how, you know, I was raised to see and be and do. Again, this idea about, you know, we neither need to dominate, that means that all jobs are mine, nor do we need to abdicate, that no job is mine, you know, you do it or somebody else will take care of it. So again, this whole idea of service is, you know, great practice for everything in my life to help me learn lessons that maybe other people automatically learned growing up, or I don't know, they took a class in it or something, but I apparently didn't quite get that book or that sheet of music or something. And so, you know, what a great opportunity to learn how to be, you know, just a member in a group, a family member in a family, rather than having to be, you know, dominating or caving. And so it's also a great place then through service to learn how to be really clear about what our responsibilities are and be happy to step up and do those. And then also to let go of things that aren't our responsibility. Again, this whole idea to help us train ourselves through service so that we can be happy and usefully whole, whether the alcoholic is drinking or not, or fill in the blank, whether your brother, my family members who are part of the family disease of alcoholism, maybe they aren't the alcoholic, but they have all those behaviors and characteristics that didn't serve me well, and they're still running with. So if this sounds a little bit like concept 10, and I know we didn't read 10 tonight, but it sounds a little bit like concept 10, it kind of really is, you know, this idea that, you know, service responsibility is balanced with authority, that double-headed management, that's what it says in the concept. I always think double-headed management is kind of like being two-faced or schizophrenic or, that we avoid those dysfunctions that, for me, again, the lessons I learned growing up were all about dysfunction and smoke and mirrors, whether things were spoken or not. And so to learn something different. I'm going to pause for a minute because I'm also trying to watch the clock a little bit too. So again, there's also this idea about through service that we have the opportunity to also exert our own personal leadership, to look at ourselves and lead ourselves. And are we being the person we want to be and showing up the way we want to? And if not, to be able to, again, adjust that. I'm just gonna kind of skip forward here a little bit because I don't want to keep you all up too late because I know you have a lot going on in your lives, and I'm glad to see everybody tonight, and I'm glad you're healthy and you're safe and all those things. There's a lot going on in the world out there. In our Conference Approved Literature book, Paths to Recovery, points out that all those qualities that we can get through through service, things like learning about responsibility, about tolerance, about stability, being flexible, learning what good judgment is and exercising it. And I like that part about, not only knowing what it is, but actually figure out how to do it. Those are things that help us learn to lead satisfying lives. Part of the reason I think I was so up in everybody else's business was because I didn't know what to do with myself otherwise, right? And so part of that's nurture, part of that's nature, part of that is if you don't know what else to do, then how do you have a satisfying life? Well, you figure out something to do. And so, now to gain the tools through Al-Anon to have a satisfying life again, so that I can be not only comfortable in my own skin, that I'm not full of that worry, my heart doesn't pound, my brain doesn't churn, my gut doesn't wrench, and to be able to be, comfortable whether the alcoholic is drinking or not, or my family members who are also affected by the family disease of alcoholism, whether they're in their drama and their, whatever their paths are. I'd love it if they could also, get what we all have in Al-Anon, what you all have, what, people over in AA have, but that's not for everybody. And I'm not the one who can necessarily, carry that message to my family members. I have to hope when they're ready that, it's going to be going to be you on the screen here and others like you who are going to be able to be available to them and help them on wherever their paths may be. The other thing is about, participating in service. And, many of you already have this experience, even if you haven't done an Al-Anon of being in service, but, you're in service and participating as in your family. So whether that's as parents, leading by example, getting your children to go to school, for example, with education, or when they're sick to be care for them. And so, so we all have those sorts of experiences. How do we further build upon them and nurture them? So again, these are some of those personal gifts that, I've experienced in my life as part of being in Al-Anon, and then to be able to keep getting the gifts and the relief of Al-Anon by getting into service and getting even so much more. The other really cool parts are I can also be a pretty good one at isolating even in the midst of people. And so, part of the gift of service is fellowship, the supportive group and people around you, replacing isolation with community. So look at all of you tonight. Wow, there's like over 100 of you. This is really cool. Learning to trust others. Wow, there's an interesting one. Letting go of perfection. Wow. It's really hard. It's very frustrating to be a perfectionist when, nothing in ourselves ever are quite perfect. And again, for me, this idea that, Al-Anon continuing to exist is incredibly important to me, because without Al-Anon, without the personal recovery part of that, I don't get to keep having the relief I need from all those things that made me so uncomfortable that got me to walk in the door in the first place. I think many of you are quite experienced with service. I know that, but there's some really simple things to do, even just simple jobs at a group. This idea that groups are self-supporting, that's not just about money. It's about showing up and doing other things, whether that's you know, hosting the speaker meeting tonight, those who are readers tonight, and all those other things, because, you know, many hands make light work. So, you know, and I've been involved in service at our district over here, putting on a large event. And, you know, I almost do nothing with that large event. I get everybody else to do things and everybody has fun and many hands make light work. And it really turns out to be a great opportunity because, again, our concept four, I think, talks about, you know, participation being the key to harmony. And that's also another learned thing before I got to Al-Anon, you know, I didn't really know about. You know, so what's it like today? And I'm going to try and get wrapped up here pretty quick. So, you know, what's changed my life today as a result of Al-Anon, doing the program of Al-Anon, which is working the steps with a sponsor who has done the steps themselves in Al-Anon, and all those other things I mentioned. You know, I sleep without worry. I'm an old guy now, so sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, but it's not because I'm worrying, it's because I'm an old guy and I woke up in the middle of the night. So, wow, what a difference. You know, I can love my relatives without having to take the bait and get pulled into the, you know, the drama and the dysfunction that the family disease of alcoholism, as I mentioned, seems to have on every branch and rootlet and leaf in the family tree. You know, I don't have to also get pulled into the whirlwind swirling around active alcoholism, whether that be with family members or acquaintances or people at work. You know, I have the ability to do this in all areas of my life, not only when I'm in an Al-Anon meeting, not only around family members, but also coworkers and just, you know, general acquaintances. That's really a big thing, not getting pulled right into everything that's going on somehow I need to be personally involved in or take personally. You know, I'm not hostage to my own feelings. I can get out of that. I don't have to have the churning gut, the head full of thoughts that keep me up at night, the pounding heart. And I also don't have to jump on the bandwagon with other people's feelings and emotions. Their feelings are theirs, mine are mine. And I don't have to necessarily, you know, catch those other people's emotions contagiously. So I think I'm about ready to wrap up here. In Al-Anon, we talk about when anyone anywhere reaches out for help, we want to make sure that the hands of Al-Anon and Al-Ateen are there. And especially making sure this program continues to exist through being of service by showing up in meetings like this. And you know, helps to make sure that Al-Anon continues to exist because, again, I'm kind of selfish. I want the relief I get, and I want to keep happening. So, you know, in a very special way, I love you all, and thank you for letting me speak here this evening. Thanks.